As Pastor Bill said, the subject today is being single. So like we said, every February we do a relationship message or series, and it's always great. But last month I brought up the point maybe singles don't like hearing about couples all month long. And I said, you know, can we give a message on being single? And they thought that was a great idea. Then we thought, who could possibly give such a message? Who do we know on our current speaking team that is so completely and utterly and unequivocally single that could possibly, oh, wait a minute, me? Does anyone remember the superhero name I came up for myself? What is it? Single Man. I can do things because I'm single and I have more time on my hands. Does anyone remember Single Man's catchphrase? All in a single day's work. All in a single. So Single Man's going to teach you today. So being single can be tough, can it? Especially when we grow up constantly hearing that love is like a fairy tale. We watch all these Disney movies where this man and woman go on this great adventure, fall in love, slay a dragon or something. And by the end of the movie, they walk off into the sunset. And what does the announcer always say? And they lived happily ever after. Is that true? Once you fall in love, no more problems? No, if you ever watch the terrible straight-to-DVD sequels, you know nothing good was in their future after that. But it's not just movies, though. It's just our culture. In general, our culture leads us to believe, basically, you're not someone unless you're with someone. Or you're not happy unless you're married. Or you're not successful. No one takes you seriously unless you're married. And even as Christians, we can tend to think that God can't use us properly unless we're married. I've been known to think that before. But in all the stories of the Bible, did God only ever use married people? Was that the only thing he did? So in this, the story of David and Goliath, most people know the story of David and Goliath, or they've at least heard of it. God sent the prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse to pick the new king of Israel from his sons, and that person would also battle Goliath. And when Jesse got there, first they showed him the older sons, and God said no to all of them. Then they saw David out there taking care of the sheep, young David. When Samuel saw him, did he go, here's the new king? Ooh, not married. Ooh, no, that's not going to work. Are any of these sons married? That one? Okay, we're going to go with that one. Have fun with your sheep, little boy. I got a real man to save Israel. Is that what happened? No, he picked David because David was the man for the job, or in this case, the young man for the job. Many of the great men and women of the Bible were single when God started using them. They may have gotten married later on in life, but they were single when God started using them, and some of them never got married, like the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He was single his whole life. And was Jesus married? No, Jesus was single. So what does the Bible say about happiness and how successful we are, whether we are single or not? Well, let's look at that. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. It will be up on the screen. It says, I am not saying this, and by the way, this is the Apostle Paul talking, who I just said was single. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here's one of the most famous scriptures of all time. We quote it all the time. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Did you know one of the most famous scriptures of all time was about being happy in every circumstance? Written by a man who was single his whole life? Yes, so we need to start changing our thinking that God can only use us if we're married, okay? And how do we do that? Well, the secret's that last part, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, but that's a bit all-encompassing, so let's get really specific today. We're going to get really specific and practical how to be happy and thrive and fulfill God's plan for you right now, not later on down the road when all the right things come into place, but now. And you couples, don't zone out, don't put your AirPods in. This is for you too. Because, and sometimes in marriage, and us singles will learn this eventually, you can actually be more lonely than you ever were when you were single at times. Because no one's perfect, There's no perfect marriage. It's not designed that way. No one can make you happy. Only God can do that. All right? Okay, so if you learn to be happy and fulfilled with your heavenly relationship with your Father, no earthly relationship can take that happiness away from you. So it's good that you learn this now, and you'll find your earthly marriage will be much better if you don't give each other the power to take your happiness away when you're united, chasing after God together. And so singles, it's good that you're learning this now, and couples and married couples, it's good that you're learning this now too. So the title of my message, who's ready to get single up in here? Who's ready to get all single? My title of my message is Being Single. That's the title of my message. All right. So, I like that. Did you know that Adam makes these slides himself? Yeah, that's great. Good job, Adam. No one asked him. He just started doing it one day, and we were just like, where did these awesome slides come from? And Adam's like, I don't know. So, don't look at me, you know. So, are there any benefits to being single? Oh, yeah. Tons of them. Well, I mentioned it earlier. You got a lot more time on your hands. When we were renovating this church, it took us a long time, didn't it? And I would stay really late because I was single and I didn't have families to go home to. And I would just stay. I'm like, you know what? I don't have to go home. I can just paint this wall. That's when I came up with the superhero Single Man. Whenever something needed to be done, I'm like, Single Man will paint that wall. He'll handle this. So there's that benefit. There's also the benefit of you can work on your relationship with God much easier because you're just dealing with your own problems. You don't have somebody else's problems in the mix yet. And there's just a lot of benefits to it. But now, I've been single a long time, okay? I'm 31 now. I dated a girl once for a few months, but for the most part, I've been single the whole time. I find most people know you've got more time on your hands and it's easier to do stuff. The hard part isn't really knowing that. It's getting over the loneliness and the desire to be in the next stage of life. And that's not just being single, that's any stage of life you're in. You're always thinking, oh, the next stage is going to be better, that's when I'm going to be happy. And I find when you decide to be happy now, you can take full advantage of everything that's available to you in this stage of life. So don't ever be looking, oh, it's going to be great when I get that. Is it going to be great when I get that? Yes, because God is always great, but he's great right now too. So let's get really practical. I'm going to give you 3 steps on being successfully single today, starting with your first step. In your notes, there's a fill in the blank. You're going to fill this in. It says, it is okay to feel lonely sometimes. It's okay to feel lonely sometimes. Did you know that? Not long ago, I used to think I was a bad Christian if I was ever lonely. Because I thought, well, I got Jesus inside of me. I should never be lonely because I have Jesus. And then I felt like I was a bad Christian. So now am I not only lonely, now I feel condemned. Has anyone ever been there before? Yeah, but the truth of the matter is, everyone feels lonely sometimes. That's how we're made. Let's look at that in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, like the music group today, they killed it while they were playing, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, and it goes on and on, basically saying we have feelings. There are ups and downs in life. There are seasons in life. So human beings, we're designed to feel. We have feelings. It's okay to be sad sometimes. You don't even always have to have a reason to be sad. You're just sad. You have feelings. That doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. That doesn't even mean you're a weak person. It just means you're a person. Do you know Jesus had feelings? Yeah, Jesus came to earth and lived in an earthly body in part to show us how to live the Christian life. He would laugh. He would cry. He would sometimes even weep. Did you know that? Yeah. What, you don't believe me? I can prove it to you right now in Scripture. Check this out. John 11:35, Jesus wept. That's the entire scripture. I showed it to you. Shortest scripture in the Bible, only 2 verses. That's your memory verse for next week, by the way. You guys got told you. But yeah, this is normal to have feelings. However, and there's a but, and this is a big but. As Christians, there is a feeling we need to take control of, and a feeling that is harmful to us. It's okay to feel lonely sometimes. Sometimes, you might want to underline sometimes, not all the time. It's okay to feel lonely sometimes. It's not okay to feel like you are alone. Is there a difference? There's a very big difference. Lonely, in few words, basically means you're feeling down today. Okay, you're not feeling on top. It happens. Feeling alone means you feel like you've been abandoned and nobody is there for you. And you are never abandoned by God, are you? God is always there for you. Feelings are fine, but letting yourself being controlled by your feelings is not fine. That can be harmful to you. So how do we stop from feeling alone? Well, not long ago, I used to struggle with thoughts of being alone, partly because, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like being single. I've wanted to be married for a long time, so I struggle with that. And also, not long ago, I used to struggle with nightmares. I used to have bad dreams a lot. And sometimes I would wake up in like a cold sweat. And when I'd wake up, I'd look over at the bed next to me and nobody was sleeping next to me. And in those moments, I felt like I was alone. Okay, I felt like I was abandoned. I couldn't feel God in those moments. I could only feel myself. So what do you do when you can't feel God? And you might want to write this down. This is important. When you can't feel God, don't focus on what you feel. Focus on what you know. Don't focus on what you feel. Focus on what you know. When you can't make sense, when your heart can't make sense of your feelings, listen to your noodle noggin. God gave you that for a reason. So I began to ask myself a series of questions. One question I asked myself was, in this moment where I'm feeling alone and scared and I'm by myself, I would say, even though I can't feel him right now, is God real? In my head, I know he's real. I've experienced him, yes. I know God is real. And even though it doesn't feel like it at the moment, does God love me? Yes, I know that. I know God loves me. And even though I can't feel him right now, is God here with me right now? Yes, I know he's here with me right now. Then I Googled scriptures on the topic. How many of you are glad we live in an age where we can just Google scriptures and we don't have to memorize the whole Bible anymore? It's great. And I would say those scriptures over and over again until I believed them. You don't always believe them at first, but if you say them till you believe them, that's when the power starts happening. And do you know what happened? I stopped feeling alone altogether. No more being alone, and get this, the nightmares even stopped. I haven't had a nightmare in years, praise God. And yeah, thank God. It works. It works. So don't feel bad if you're lonely every once in a while, but just know it's going to pass. So when I start to feel lonely, and if you've been single any amount of time, or even if you're married, you feel lonely sometimes. You say, it's okay. God's still here with me. It's going to pass. But as soon as that loneliness overstays its welcome, and you start to feel alone, that's when you bust out the scriptures and you start saying, no, I'm not alone. God loves me, and I am an overcomer. And whatever you're facing right now, you can overcome it right now, not when you're married, not later on. Thank God I fixed that problem before I got married. Okay, so like I said, I want to be married. But there are times where I'm happy and I'm not, because I would have expected her to fix that problem, and she wouldn't have been able to do it, because no person can do that. That would have caused animosity in our marriage. I would have had trouble with that. So thank God I fixed it now, and you singles, this is the time to fix problems. And I would say, and you married people can tell me if I'm right, I would say it's probably easier to fix problems like this when you're single, don't you think? Once again, you're just fixing your problems. You're not dealing with someone else. And if you're married, don't worry, God didn't stop being God. He can still work on your problems now. There's never a better time to get the victory and be happy than right now. So that was your first fill in the blank. It's okay to be lonely sometimes, but keep focusing on God to take care of that for you. Now for your second fill in the blank and your notes. Fill this in. It says, chase after God before feelings. Chase after God before feelings. We're talking about feelings a lot today because we have a lot of feelings, don't we? And as we said before, feelings in and of themselves are not necessarily wrong. Like many things in life, it's our attitude towards them that's either right or wrong. But here's the thing about chasing feelings and striving after just getting all the good feelings. You might want to write this thing down too. feelings are too quick to catch. Feelings are too quick to catch. Feelings come and feelings go. The feelings you had yesterday, you might not have tomorrow. Okay, so what does the Bible say about what our attitude should be towards having good feelings and having good connections in our life? Matthew 6:33, we'll read from there. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God. Does it say seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And you'll never have a good time, you'll never have feelings, but you'll be proud of yourself for doing the right thing. Is that what it says? No, it says, "I will add these things," and in this case, what we're talking about, feelings, to you. As humans, we have a tendency to drop everything and just pursue all the good feelings we want. Okay? Now, that's not to say we can't ever have a good time. We go to Disney World sometimes, don't we? Because we want those Disney feelings. We like those Disney feelings. But if we decide we can only ever be happy at Disney World and we spend all of our time, effort, and money just trying to get to Disney World, we have a problem, don't we? And if we decide that we always have to be dating someone, or we always have to be in a relationship, or we always have to have something to be happy, we have a problem too. But if we start a relationship based solely on feelings, as soon as those feelings go away, the relationship is in trouble, isn't it? And then it ends, and then we still want feelings, so we just chase after the first relationship we can get, and the whole process starts over again. Now, if you've had a relationship in the past based on feelings, that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's how we learn. But this is what God says about good feelings and relationships and everything. He said, "Seek me first, okay, and I will take care of that," he says. And this can be hard for us. It can be hard to trust God like that. I struggle with this sometimes, too, because we think, oh, well, God might give us something that we don't want, or in this case, someone we don't want, and we might do a better job picking it ourselves. But is that true? Can we do a better job than God? No. Is God ever going to give you something you don't want? No. Who made feelings? God did. Who knows feelings better than you? God did. Earlier, I was talking about fairy tales and how they're not real, and we shouldn't base things on them, right? But I'm about to blow your mind real quick. Are you ready to have your mind blown? What if I told you God's ways are better than a fairy tale? Whoa. Whoa. Fairy tales come from the mind of people, don't they? Who's got a better mind, people or God? God has a better mind. This asking questions really helps, doesn't it? It helps you get through the feelings like that. God's plans for feelings and singlehood, marriage, life in general are better than our own plans. I didn't say they were easier than our own plans. I said they were better. So if you are single today, don't stop chasing God, okay? He will give you the feelings you need even while you're single. And if you are struggling with anything, that's okay. We all struggle. Get some help. Talk to some people who are older than you that've been through it before. Young men, go to some men of God. Young women, go to some women of God. We got a lot of those in our church today. There's plenty of them to go around. So get some help. But if you're single, don't stop chasing after God. He'll take care of you. If you are dating, don't stop chasing after God. Here's my rule for dating, and I think this is a pretty good rule. Run as fast and as hard as you can after God, and don't slow down for anyone. And if there's someone who can keep up with you, then that person is a keeper. So that's my rule. That's my rule for dating. Yeah. They exist. Don't worry. There are people running after God, too. I know it seems like they're not sometimes, but there's a lot of them. I go to conferences all for church a lot. There's tons of young people running around that love God with all their heart. They're around. If you're married, don't stop chasing after God. If you're having trouble in your marriage, don't stop chasing after God. The tendency is to stop and try to fix the marriage before chasing after God, but God is the one that fixed the marriage. And if you need help, just like the singles, go to a man or a woman of God and talk to them about it. Plenty of those in here. And even if you want to remain single, like the Apostle Paul did, he was single his whole life. Some people want to do that. They feel called to do that. That's fine, but the same rules apply. Don't stop chasing after God. He will give you the feelings you need. And whatever stage of life you're in, God will take care of you. And here's the thing about God's feelings. So sometimes we long for the feelings of the past, don't we? And we try to get back there, but those feelings are no longer available to us. God's feelings are new every morning. That's the nature of God, to get better and better, to go from glory to glory and strength to strength. You may look back and be happy about the feelings you had before and the people you knew before and all that. You can look back and smile, but you look forward to the great things God has ahead of you, because that's how great he is. And he promises, if you seek him first, whatever stage of life you're in, he will take care of you. And God is not a liar, is he? So that was your second step and your second fill in the blank. Now for your third and final step, this one is simple, but it's very important. And for some people, this part's the most difficult. Here's your fill in the blank in your notes. Plug yourself into a positive Christian community. Plug yourself into a positive Christian community. We're not made to do life by ourselves. Okay? I know we all want to shut ourselves in our room and just stay there sometimes, but that's not how we're made. Let's go to Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Talking about meeting together, being together. I got a cool story to help us put this into perspective. As many of you know, I used to be a zookeeper. I took care of animals for 10 years. And most of that time, I took care of giant fruit bats, massive fruit bats, the largest bats in the world. Some of them had a 6-foot wingspan. They were like this tall, really cool. But one of our species was called a variable flying fox. They call them flying foxes because they have cute faces. Believe it or not, bats are cute. I'm sorry if you don't think that, but bats are very cute. They have a face like a fox. And this is a smaller one. Well, smaller for me, he's about this big. Most people think that's massive, but to me, they're smaller. And they're really cool. They don't echolocate. They make lots of noises that you can hear. And they have this one noise that we all dubbed the hello noise when they greet you. And I'm going to butcher this, but it sounds something like, "Makak!" So they always... And we had this one bat named Scully, who we all loved, because he did the hello noise every time you called his name. So we'd walk into the pen, and you know, the bats live in colonies, so there's tons of bats in the pen. You'd walk in and go, "Scully," and you'd hear, "Makak!" And even if you couldn't see him, if he was on the other side of the pen, you'd hear, "Makak!" You know, from the distance. We all loved Scully. But unfortunately, one day, Scully hurt himself, as animals do. Animals are like kids. If you put him in a straitjacket in a padded room, they'll still find a way to hurt themselves. So Scully unfortunately hurt himself. So the vets from the UF vet school came down. We worked with them, and they told us, we have to put Scully by himself so he can heal. And we don't like to do that, and any zookeeper knows if you take an animal that's meant to be in a group and put it by themselves, they'll get depressed. Okay, so, but we had to. There was no other choice. So we thought, okay, we got to make sure Scully doesn't get depressed. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to load Scully up with all of his favorite foods. Okay, so we gave him all the cantaloupe he could ever want. Bats love cantaloupe, by the way. We gave it to them every day, and you thought they'd never seen it in their life. They would just devour it. And bats love fruit baby food, okay? They don't care about the vegetable baby food. That's the dumb stuff. The fruit baby food, that's where it's at, okay? So we gave him all the cantaloupe and the fruit baby food he'd ever want. And for the first week, he was on cloud nine. He was just shoving his face full of food. Every time we said hello to him, he went back to us. But after about a week, his happy "Makak!" started to sound more like "Makak!" Oh, "Makak!" He started to get sad because he was alone. So we tried everything we could to cheer him up. We would record the bats on our phone and play sounds to him. We put a stuffed bat in there, hung it upside down like a teddy bear, and he would snuggle up next to it and pretend it was a bat, but it just wouldn't do it. And then he stopped making noises altogether. And he was so depressed that he stopped grooming himself. Bats usually clean themselves like cats and dogs, but he was just caked in baby food and stuff. He wouldn't clean himself. We had to give him baths. He didn't like that very much. So he was just sad. Why is he getting so sad? He has everything he could ever want. He doesn't have to compete with the others for food, because that's not how God designed him. God didn't design him to be by himself. He designed him to be with other bats. And let me tell you, when Scully finally got that seal of approval from the doctors. He could go back with the group. We put him back with the group. You never saw a happier bat in your life. He was running around going, magak, 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 magak. He was happy from that day on out. Why? Because he was finally in the group God designed him to be with. And you, scientifically speaking, humans are designed to be in a group. And you won't be happy by yourself. Okay, we are just like bats. We're essentially Batman. I think that's what I'm trying to say here. If you take nothing else home today, take that home. No, you're a Batman or a Batwoman. But that's not to say we don't need some alone time every once in a while. Scully was fine for a week, wasn't he? He got to get some alone time, get his thoughts together, eat some good food. But after a week, he needed to be back with other bats, didn't he? So it's easy to isolate yourself, okay? Especially when you're single. It's very easy to say, you know what? I'm perfectly comfortable being home alone with my blankie, being mad at everybody else. Hey, trust me, I understand the appeal, but that's not how God made us. You are designed to be in a positive, uplifting community, okay? And there's no more positive, uplifting community than the Church of Jesus Christ, okay? This is what's best for you, but this is also the heart of God. Let's look at our last scripture of the day. This is the account from the church of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, this is the early church. So think of the first church that started after Jesus had already been raised from the dead. So this is them. It says, this is verses 46 through 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. How many of you would like the Lord to add daily to the church being saved? How many of you would like that? Just like Jesus was our example of the perfect Christian life, the church in the book of Acts is our example of what the church is supposed to be like. And it was growing exponentially. And the Bible actually says right here, we just read it, one of the reasons they were growing is because they were eating food together. They were doing life together. They were being around each other. And everyone outside the church wanted to be a part of it. Okay, because let me tell you, the early church was the place to be. Everyone wanted to be part of the early church, partially because the Christians were so close to each other. And everyone desires that family atmosphere, don't they, to be part of something. It didn't even matter that literally at that time the Roman government was trying to kill them. They didn't care. People wanted to be part of the church. It was that good. It was the place to be, and this church can be the place to be as well. Amen. Thank you, Betty. That was now yes. I agree with that. When we start being a part of the body of Christ, people will be drawn to it because it's built inside of them. Just like you, you're built to be part of a community. So is everybody else, a positive community. And when they see you plugged into that community and being around people and getting loved and getting built up, they're going to say, I want that. How do I get that? And you'll say, I'll show you how you get that. Come to church with me and I'll show you exactly how you get that. So today, I'm speaking to everyone. You can be happy and fulfilled whatever state of life you're in right now. You're single, married, or somewhere in between, whatever it is, the power of God is available for you to be happy and successful in a group of people. Now, you might say, Michael, I hear what you're saying, but this is difficult for me. I don't know if I can do this. That's okay. I can't do it either. No one can do it. That's why it says I can do all things through him who strengthens me, through him who gives me love. It's Jesus that does it. Not us. And if you're here today and you're saying, I want to follow God, but I'm worried I'm going to mess it up. It's okay. We all mess it up. I still mess it up all the time. But God's mercies are new every morning. And if you're waiting for the day where you've got it all together and you're ready to go and you won't mess up, that day will never come because we never arrive there. Nobody does. We are not designed that way. We are designed to be lifted up by God. No person has the power to keep you lifted up. Okay, they can help you from time to time, but they can't keep you lifted up. Only God can do that. Not even your spouse, only God. And let me tell you, I know a God that can open the eyes of the blind. I know a God that can heal the wounded and mend the brokenhearted. I know a God that can turn your mourning into dancing. I know a God that loves you just the way you are today. God can never love you any more or any less than he already loves you now. I know a God that loves to take people who are lost and use them to change the world. And I know a God who wants you, yes, you, just the way you are right now, today. And if you don't know this God, don't worry, I can introduce you to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time and this to speak to the people of God. I love doing it, Lord, and I'm thankful for all of them. Lord, I pray you'd bless them with this message. And if they're single, Lord, I pray you'd begin to encourage them, that they'd be excited to take advantage of everything that is available to them right now in their single life. Take advantage of their extra time. Take advantage of just you and them, Lord Jesus, just you and them. They take advantage of that. Strengthen everyone today. And now I have a very important question for you. And it's the most important question anyone can ever ask you. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? You might say, well, I think so, I hope so, I'm not entirely sure. How can anyone know for sure? Well, the Bible says you can know for sure. It says, I write these things, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. What does that mean? Someone asked Jesus. He said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life where you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. He comes and lives in your heart and makes you into a new person. If you've never done that before, in just a second, I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand. Everyone's going to have their eyes closed. No one will be looking around. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, and we're all going to say the prayer together. But if you've done that before, but you know right now you're not where you need to be with God, you feel like you're separated from him and you'd like to be back on track, if that applies to you, I'm also going to ask you to raise your hand. So right now, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if either of those two would apply to you, you want to give your life to God for the first time or rededicate your life, go ahead and raise your hand. Raise it up high so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Be brave. God loves you. I know he loves you. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. So let's lead these who've raised their hands in a prayer, and everyone pray it with them. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for my sins, and God raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, I open my heart and ask you to come in, forgive me of my sins, and make me into a new person. Be my Lord and Savior. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People just got born again and birthed into the kingdom of God.
That was a great message. Give Michael Cranes a hand. So good, so good. Man, you know, I got a lot out of that. That was for everybody, not just for singles. It's just the keys to successful Christian living. Great job, Michael. Give him another hand. I think that was great. Good job.